Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for putting us right here, right now, as we get to witness the end of this age with things happening all over the world and in our own neighborhood as well. Lord, guide us. Lord, protect us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many areas of connection in our world. We connect with people. We connect with situations and life and the things going on today. We need, we ask for God's protection as we stay watchful for all the events around us. Some things are wonderful and some things we know are a little bit dangerous because the world is going on its path that is with difficulty. So, Lord, guide us as we see the things around us. We see our Bible helps us to understand what is coming. War, rumors of war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. But because we have an idea of what is coming, well, our Bible tells us something about that. Also, Proverbs 27:12 and Proverbs 22:3. Both of them tell us that danger is coming, and the wise man sees it coming and steps aside to avoid it. We know there is danger all around us of every sort. Why, there is physical danger and people who want to have physical slavery around us, or sexual abuse, or something that takes advantage of other people, especially the young and the ignorant. Now, there is robbery going on in many areas, people who want to steal from other people. And I think of some of it is what is done by agreement, and some of it is by violation. And I think of Timothy 3:6 that tells about the troubles going on in the end of the age and the world around us, and how there are all sorts of troubles. It tells of women with diverse lusts. And so we know there are men with diverse lusts and everything. And then we have the idea of slavery that goes on around us. Again, diverse lusts. And we get to discuss these things, if we want to. I know James Dobson did. That was on the 28th of May. He had of 2025. On that broadcast, he had a guest, Linda Smith, who had a ministry called Shared Hope International. And it talked about America being the biggest consumer of sex trafficking. So we have that going on now here, and it has been happening all over the world as well. Do you think that this is against God's will? Do you think that God will judge the nation that does this? Well, we can see that there has been public testimony, both in the media and, for instance, on YouTube and everything. And there have been people who testify about being abused or witnessing abuse, terrible abuse. Oh, there was that Cassie Ventura who talked about somebody diddle-dee and how she was abused and witnessed other people who were very abused. Is that going on in our country, where boys and girls are being abused, very abused? And you know the stories, you know the testimony, and it is going on. Why, we even have it from, I'm thinking of Jeffrey Epstein and his female companion, Ghislaine Maxwell, and how there are things that have gone on which nobody ought to know about, nobody ought to speak about, but it goes on. And there is so much sexual abuse in the country and in the world that we just want to protect the innocent of this world. there will be terrible consequences for what goes on as children are, well, they're sacrificed, abused, and just terrible, terrible things happen. You know that, well, no, yes, of course, we do know it, but we don't know the timing of how God responds to this. There will be consequences for the things that have gone on in this world, in this country, in the people around us. Things are going to happen. It's going to be terrible, just like it happens to consequences for people who abuse or behead other people. I mean, look at the Islamists in Iraq. There are things that happen. Just recently, there was a 15-year-old boy who was beheaded because he was listening to music during prayer time. Yeah, that was not respectful at all, but does it merit beheading? I don't know, but there are things going on all around the world where people expect the consequence of their bad behavior is going to cause somebody to die. Well, think about death of the thousands of abortions that go on every month in this country and around the world. Abortions are really bad now. And I think about Genesis 15:6, where it talks about the fullness of the sin of the Amorites, and then God will judge. So you have to wonder, what is going on in our America or in our world? Will God judge the country, or at what point will it happen? And of course, Revelation chapter 18 with the fall of Babylon talks about the consequences of terrible evil things that have gone on. And it's a theme, and it's a fact, according to Revelation chapter 18. It's going to happen because it is in the Bible. And we know it will happen because what God says is the absolute truth. Now, these days, people recognize trouble is coming, and there are oh so many people that expect to be raptured off the earth before any difficulty arrives. Well, it could happen. It really could. But there is a history of people having to go through the consequences of their actions, or a country or a people having to suffer the consequences of their actions. So this is something that could very well happen too. It doesn't mean we're going to get raptured away from any trouble. Just look at what has gone on in history, Bible history, or human history, the history books. We see there are consequences, and it's true. We don't know what God will ordain, but we know that things are going to happen. So how are we going to get through a time of difficulty? Well, I would say that we get through the time by being obedient to God. And I have to think that with the trouble that's coming, it will make people want to go to heaven. They will just long for heaven, and they will long for a rapture. But when will it happen? How will it happen? We wonder about that, and we wonder if the Revelation 18, fall of Babylon, will happen before or after, or what's the timing of all of it? And I think about there is the place in Revelation 18:4 that says, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins." So we're supposed to leave Babylon, huh? Oh yeah, we are. Now how are we going to leave Babylon? What is Babylon? Well, we do have a different idea of this and that. And oh, I have talked to many people who have different ideas. Some say we are Babylon. Some say we're not Babylon. Some say it's something or another. Well, I guess every one of us has to search out understanding for themselves and try to have it have a sensible answer. But I can only think that it's good to have a few preparedness items like water, a water filter, food, and warmth. In a sense of community, you will probably want to have a community so that you don't have to get through the hard times alone. You will help other people, and other people will help you. So how do you make a community like that? Well, it might not happen immediately, so get started on it and be a part of a community with other people, probably other people who think like you. And I'm really thinking of Christian people. So have a good look at what you are expecting and see what you can put into place so that you are around like-minded believers. There are troubles coming. If we think of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Matthew 24:6, Mark 13:7, and Luke 21:9, all of this is clearly saying that there will be troubles coming. War, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes. Okay, they're going to hit sometime. Do you know when it'll be? I don't. I thought that we would already have some, and in a way we already have. But when will the really big bad ones be? It's kind of a mystery, and we don't exactly know. But I do think that we can reread Revelation chapter 18 to get an idea of what is going to happen. And then please think about how you're going to maintain your freedom through such events as that. Your freedom is not just so that you can do whatever you want. I hope it's not. I hope you want the freedom so that you're able to preach the good word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, just like Mark 15:16 talks about, to tell the whole world about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Preach the gospel to every creature. And be baptized and then be saved. And that's what happens to the believers. The people who do not believe, they shall be damned. So, do you believe enough to take a few steps about what the Bible tells you to do? I hope you do. I hope you really understand very well that there are some things that you can do. I think of John 3:3, where Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." So, are you born again? Do you know what it means to be born again? Well, that sometimes it takes a little bit of study and a little bit of willingness to follow God. And so, read that Bible yourself. Read all of it and search for God's truth in the Bible. There is much wisdom in the Bible, and you can learn better how to deal with life, with all the things that are around you. And then you will make more sensible decisions. Good decisions based in biblical wisdom. Now, with all the things going on in Revelation chapter 18, it sounds pretty good to be raptured out of the earth. But we see that there are things that are going to happen here on earth, and we want to be on the path that leads to eternal life. Nah, Matthew chapter 7 talks about that, there being a highway that leads to hell and a narrow path that leads to heaven. The narrow path leads to God's life, life with Jesus. So, that's something which some of us will have to study just to get a better understanding. In fact, every one of us gets a better understanding when we read things. Many times I go to a church and I see a pastor with notes. Why? Because he wants to say the whole thing. There is a whole idea behind what his gospel message is. So we might need to have notes or have an understanding about what the gospel is when we speak to other people, also when we preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You might need notes, and you might need to read it over and over again right out of the Bible and ask God to show you what it is that he wants you to see, understand, know, and be able to communicate, so that we have a wonderful time in heaven. Well, heaven looks great, doesn't it? There's so many good things about the free gift of salvation. And I just heard J. Vernon McGee say that, yes, heaven is free. And then with our thankful heart, we do good works to show our appreciation and gratitude to God. Well, yeah, salvation is a free gift, and that is wonderful. And then we show our good works as they relate to the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, it's an amazing love that God has for us. Thank you, Jesus. We feel God's great and awesome love as we go through life. And yet we're in the world, and we see so many things that distract us, things that are not necessarily good. Some of the things are really quite difficult. It's astounding. It's something we just don't expect to have both love and difficulty so close together. We have people who want to pursue pleasure. We have people who want to pursue life and wealth and the feelings of alcohol and drugs, or the power that they get from giving people pain. It's everybody has some different little situation that they are dealing with, and somehow we want to refocus on the love of God and not get distracted by the trouble in the world, but rather stay focused on the good choices that God gives us in the gospel. Remember that God is a jealous God, and he wants our worship. He wants our prayer and attention. That's in Exodus 34:14. So God is a jealous God. So let's love him and give him what he wants. Yes. You can look it up. You can do all the research that there is. Research. That makes me think of the name of God. This is kind of interesting. There are academic researchers who talk about what the original name of God was. And they said that it makes a sound like inhaling and exhaling. And it makes me think of how we inhale when we become alive on earth. Just think of the babies, how they take their first grasp of air. It is an inhale. And then think of the second part of God's name, which would be similar to an exhale. And isn't it interesting that if we take our first breath of life, it's half of God's name, and if we exhale like we do upon death, it is the second half of God's name. Now, as I said, this is what researchers have come to understand. And of course, you can understand it differently, but I think it is very valuable to look at the understanding that pretty smart people can examine. So, inhale is half of God's name. Exhale is the other half of God's name. And that is our life. Inhale and exhale. Pretty interesting. So, choose heaven. Choose God. Choose life in a godly way. Well, we understand that there are things going on in life which we can call pressure. We can call the things going on around us. And then we have life. And life has many earthly desires all around us. And we do desire things of this earth. But we want to learn how to love and appreciate that which God has for us, including the relationship with Him. Oh, and yes, there are earthly wants and desires also. But that's a part of what we do as we ponder God's truth and read the gospel, pray and fast and understand what God is about for us to give praise to and thanks to and for us to worship. Now, there's many people who only think about the earthly things. They think about what is in life that they can possess. And they think of riches, or they think of things like cars or houses, or sometimes they think of another person, whether it's a man or a woman. And so people have a different idea of what life is composed of. And often enough, when you get poor and needy, your great want is to have plain old simple earthly needs like water, food, and warmth. You want to be able to cook and clean and take care of the things that are around you. And, well, that's also what the rich people and the poor people want. We just have a different way of being concerned about it and how we do it. Now, when we get put into a system, you could call it being manipulated by what is going on around us, then we do have automatic things we think of. We think of the order of things so that we can get what we want, and that's whether we are rich or poor. We think about the things that people want. And when there are the elite people, they have things that they want too, and they figure out how to manipulate other people to get other people to serve them. When you think of them wanting perhaps the women folk to work in their home, do cleaning, cooking, and daily needs, well, that's a part of what the system is. And these very elite people also have a job for the young men, according to what they understand. They want the young men to do work around their property and to be their military and to do all the manual labor that they could want, whether it is to fight or to work the farm. So that's a part of the system we get involved with, and the people who are the elite understand it very well, and they want to have the people who are young men, young women, to serve them. And that's the part of what earthly rulers manipulate, demand, and figure out how to get from the younger people. They have a system where you can get what you want. Oh, yes, the military. The military has a system. You go into the military. You are obedient to what you are told to do. And then you get to retire with benefits, all sorts of benefits. Because there are a lot of things that are expensive in life. Yeah, I just heard about the gallbladder information. That was last week, where somebody had to go and have a gallbladder stones removed. That operation took 2 days in a hospital and cost about $80,000. Now, how do you do that without insurance? There's a lot of people that just will not be able to cover the costs. So will it be covered by our social system, by our government, or will people simply be forced to have no insurance and have no medical attention? In other words, they would be in pain and then die. So what are we going to do about the ordinary people who are a part of the system or are not a part of the system? What are we going to do when there are hungry people around us? Well, we better work on a system. And is the government going to be in charge of that system, or is the church going to be in charge of that system? Well, there's lots of real-life questions that we have about how we are going to have a society to take care of us. When we are sick or when we are old, it's a matter of figuring out what our system should do and how are we going to pay for it. Are you going to pay for everybody who doesn't have money? Yes, I just said that gallbladder operation that cost over $80,000 for a trip to the hospital. How are we going to pay for what we need? It's a big question. And somehow we have to have a plan to understand what is fair for people of the United States. And what is fair for the world? How are we going to be able to afford the operations? Or are people simply going to pass into the next life? They're going to die from what they can't afford. It's a great big question, and we have this happening all over when you see people in other countries who cannot afford to sometimes an operation, and sometimes they cannot even afford the food that they need. And so people seem to die early. Now, for all this talk about life and death and health, it does bring up the question of what our future holds when there is a conflict going on, conflict between countries. Oh, we see that right now. All the countries that are, well, they're in a contest with one another. Or you could say they're a war. I mean, there's war, Pakistan and India, Ukraine and Russia, China and Taiwan. It's just wars all over the, and in Africa. There are just wars everywhere. Wars are happening, and that's a part of what our Bible tells us to expect. But we still have to figure out how we, in America, are going to deal with the problems that are going on in the world. Are we going to do anything about Russia and China? And what about the American representatives that are making a position for America with all of these conflicts? Is war coming? Whoa, yes, our Bible says it's coming. And so what are we going to do about it? How are we going to, get through a time of difficulty? And I think that a certain amount of supplies can help us. Water filter, food, warmth, and community. Community is very important. So, do you know people that are going to help you at a time of trouble? Is it going to be family? Is it going to be church family? Is it going to be the city that you are a part of, or the state, or the country? Look, there are some pretty big questions about how we are even going to live as we face conflicts from other countries. Yeah, the conflict in Russia, I just said. And so we are helping Ukraine. Does that mean Russia then views America as a participant in that war? And that would make us a legitimate target. So how would America be defeated? Of course, there are nuclear bombs, but there's also a cyber attack, which would make it so that our electrical grid would be broken. And then China has been supplying so many parts to the American electrical grid. And all through the on-off switches, the solar panels, the new electrical generators and inverters, all of this has been supplied through communist China, China's Communist Party, CCP. So are they good partners to have? Well, they're 2011 and 2012, there were testimonies in front of the United States Senate that talked about all of the devices that had been put into our water and electrical grid and structure that could be turned on and off at any time remotely. And this was put into products from China. So China, in theory, could turn on or off our electrical grid or a water grid, and then it gets even more involved with banking and computer systems or with government communications. It just goes on and on for what China has supplied the United States citizen and military with, even parts of our planes and submarines and warships. China has supplied parts for all of these. Now, these testimonies in 2011 and 2012 in front of the U.S. Senate talked about how these devices had been secretly put into various equipment and on-off switches. So we know they're doing it, and I just wonder, do we know all of the switches, or perhaps some of them were missed, and then they could still be activated remotely? That is a question. And really and truly, we don't know the answer. We don't know what could happen. All we know is there is a problem, and we don't want to have a major problem with our infrastructure, the supply grid. We don't want to have all the signals go out at the intersections. We don't want to have our banking system failure. We want to use the credit cards and checks that we have. We want to be able to buy gas and groceries and have the lights go on in our home and businesses. But look at what has been set for us. A trap has been set for us by the Chinese Communist Party. It's something which has gone on for years, and it only gets more involved. And there was the May 1st, 2025 order that gave China's investigators the power and authority to take from international businesses in China to take their servers and their passwords and codes that would give the Chinese authorities access to all of the corporate communications. Well, the corporations didn't like that, and by the end of May 2025, thousands and thousands of international corporate people, CEOs and executives, left China because they did not want to be subject to these rules and requirements that the Communist Party of China was now imposing on them. So, yeah, China has a problem. And part of it is because they put many restrictions and rules on other people. And part of it is because they don't have an infrastructure that works independently. The banks are all full of loans. More than half of them are given to government, whether it's national, the equivalent of state government, or local governments. The banks, including the banks of China, have made loans to the government entities, and it is all in disarray in China. The banking is. The people are not able to get enough money, and so China is printing money. We've seen how that works out in other countries. It means inflation and instability. Will China crash? It could happen. Would the whole world crash? It could happen. And what do you think would happen next? There would be a plan that is already in the works to have a worldwide digital currency, and some people would believe this to be the mark of the beast system. Whether it would be right away or not is another question. Would it develop into the mark of the beast system in just a few short years? It's all a matter of question, but it is also something that is happening. It's happening right now in front of our eyes. Can you see it going on? Of course you can, but you can see it better if you look. And now the question will be, okay, it seems to be coming. Now, what are you going to do so that you can continue to be free, so that you can preach the good news of the gospel to the world, to your neighborhood, to the people around you? This is what we are here for. We're not here to be rich and wealthy and rulers over other people. We are here to preach the good news of the gospel because we belong to Jesus. If we belong to the state, we would do the state's work, and we would watch the people go bankrupt and take over their assets, because that is a part of what the state does through its loaning and its banking and all the systems that are going on with credit, with taxes, with everything. That is going on. So are you going to belong to the system of the beast by the government's hand? And will the artificial intelligence have to do with watching over everything? Everything, everything. Have they already got you figured out so that they know what you are interested in buying and what you are interested in savings? What is something that you care about? Yes, of course, it is all understood. It is so clear to artificial intelligence who you are and what you are about. And artificial intelligence is already capable of perfectly matching your voice. They could match my voice. In fact, I've heard my voice matched, and I could not tell the difference. I thought I was speaking. But no, it wasn't. It was an artificial intelligent program that I heard me speaking the gospel. But it wasn't me. It was done by artificial intelligence. And this should tell you about how precarious our future is going to be. Who are we going to represent? Is it going to be Jesus? Is it going to be ourself? Or is it going to be our government? What are we going to do? Who are you going to represent? Who are you going to uphold as the most important part of your life? Will it be your spouse or your children? Will it be the principles you believe in? Will it be America? Will it be the freedom people? And what about it being God through Jesus Christ? Where is your eternity going to be? You better have this figured out, because there are problems coming, whether it is with our supply chain or artificial intelligence that is going to encourage you to move into the beast system. We have things that are going into a crisis mode with our electricity generation and distribution. We have crisis modes going on with a communication to buy what we need, whether it is gas, groceries, or hardware store items. It is all something that is completely tracked and monitored. What will your bank allow you to buy with the credit system that they use? Will you be allowed to call the people you know? How important is communication? All these things are pushing at you, and it's for you to decide how to be within the system of the beast or be outside of the system of the beast. It's not that it's going to be an easy decision to make, because it will not be easy to have a lack of food and to watch the difficulties going on around you. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famine, and just plain tough things going on all around you. That's a part of what's going to happen. And they will promise you everything. That's what the systems do. We will give you everything if you just agree to do what I tell you. Let me command you, and you won't have any worries at all. We'll give you all the food you can possibly want until it's not available. Well, this is a part of the system, and it's a part of what communism has done for decades. They promise you everything and deliver to you nothing. That's been a part of the system that has gone on. In a sense, it's been with every government. And we have the things going on in front of our legislative branch and executive branch. Oh, and the judicial, all of it. It's all going on. And it is to help you to become so engaged in the system that you cannot leave it. You need to be a part of it to get your benefits, to get your retirement, to get your security, to get your housing, to get your food and gasoline. Okay, so how are you going to resist? Do you think you will ever have to resist? You might have to. So what are you going to do to resist? It's not easy when the doctors tell you you need this to happen or you're going to die. Well, we're all going to die one day, so maybe it's time to die instead of becoming a part of the beast system. You get to figure all these things out, and the timing is a part of what you are going to do. But figure it out before you're faced with it, because we all want to have a beautiful life. And if somebody tells you, hey, come and have a beautiful life, all you have to do is take this mark, and it will supply you with everything you need. You get free medical. You get all the vaccinations you want. You get everything. Everything that you could possibly want to preserve your life. Well, you better figure that one out, because we're all going to die and we're all going to have to make these decisions. So look and understand who your enemy is and who loves you. Jesus loves you. Often enough, people around you love you. But the system does not. And you get to figure out how you're going to deal with everything that is around you. The good and the bad. And the things like nuclear war. What are you going to do when that happens? Oh, get some potassium iodide pills. Everybody should have some of those. And those are already distributed over a good part of Europe. Most of Europe has had potassium iodide pills distributed to each house, so that if there is a nuclear event, you can take those pills and that will preserve your thyroid gland so that you're able to have your body function. It's all a little bit different for what your desires and expectations are. But you have to know that there are things going on and there are people who want to harm you. Yeah, just think of the fentanyl poisoning that are going on, where the U.S. authorities confiscate 50 pounds of fentanyl here, 150 pounds of fentanyl over there. And you have to realize that it only takes a few grains to kill a person. So there is enough fentanyl around, if it were only distributed evenly, to kill the whole population of the United States. So it's something that we all have to be careful. And are you going to choose something that takes you further from God, like drugs and alcohol? Or are you going to choose to be a part of the life that God gave you? Choose sobriety. Choose the life that God has given you. And then be cautious about what you need to preserve life. Water filter, or call it water and food and warmth and a community. That's what you need. Now you might not be able to have your cell phone work. There are things going on that are just going to be things that are convenient and easy, and there are things that are going to be hard and difficult. And somehow we have to make decisions about all the things that are going on, including the tariff wars and what we're going to buy and who we're going to support. It's something which all makes a little difference. And are we going to blame the system or our government? Or are we going to recognize who really has caused the breakdown of our national and international system? Is it another government? Is it an enemy of the United States? Apparently China is an enemy. Apparently North Korea is an enemy. Apparently Venezuela is an enemy. There is a question about if other countries are. Some people say Mexico is an enemy. Who is cooperating with the enemies of this country? It's a question, and it's a matter of knowing what we stand for. Will we stand for God? Will we stand for our Christian morality and protecting the innocent? It's a matter that we all get to figure out. And what do we do when we see people who are violating godly principles? What happens if they have a slave? What happens if they're abusing children? What happens? What are we going to do? It's something that is going on right now with America being the number one user, abuser of bad sex things. It's just terrible. And it's something we have been aware of with the Epstein files and the people all involved with that. So we have things going on that we want to embrace and stay away from both. Let's embrace holiness and stay away from anything that is not of God. Sometimes it takes a little practice. And somehow that is where our hope of salvation is, as we follow Jesus Christ and be obedient to God's commands. And a part of them is to love one another. So how are you showing your love? Do you really want the best for the person that you are around? And what is the best? Is it the stuff that can be provided? I think not. I think it is a future of eternity in heaven. So you want them to know Jesus Christ and to be dedicated to Jesus Christ in this life and the next. Now, there are things that are going on all around our country which are causing us to be turning our eyes away from God's will. And sometimes it is just plain ordinary life. Are you hungry? Well, sometimes hunger gets our attention away from God. And we can see that there are things going on. In China, it's interesting. Different reports. Some report 3, some report 7. New silos that have gone on in China, they are pneumatic silos where they blow them up. And they can still contain 9,000 tons of grain, whether it's wheat or rice or corn. And China already has about half of the world's supply of these grains that they have put aside, but they're buying more. They're buying more rice, wheat, and corn. Why? To sustain their population. And if there ever was a war, people would need that food. And maybe you should have a supply of food also. This is just reasonable. Do you have a supply of water, food, and warmth? Do you have corn? Do you have rice? Do you have wheat? Somehow, we all get to figure out what we should have and what we are going to be prepared for. Perhaps nothing will happen, and that's what so many people are expecting, that we will get through it because our government is going to watch after us, right? Or other people are going to help us. Oh, well, what about us helping other people? I hope you think about what you might want to do for other people during rough times. Because apparently they are coming, and we want to be prepared for helping people with kindness and knowing that people must also do work to have food. Sometimes it's farming. Sometimes it's other work. But it's a matter of what we do. And in this world, in the United States and China, there are so many people, like half the people in China, have master's or bachelor's degrees, and they cannot get a job because there's no jobs. There's no economy for that in China. Other countries have economies that are with difficulty also. Some people say the United States has difficulty. Well, we do, but it's just different. So how are we going to deal with a population that wants this or doesn't want that? It's something that we all want to be able to take care of ourselves. Now, if we want to take care of ourselves and our family, we will need a few things, a few stored food, grains, and supplies. You might need a grain grinder to grind your wheat, to make your bread. You might need something else for that, like a lot of somethings. But that's what you do. You figure out what you need and you make what you need to be in your storage of supplies. Now, there are lots of things that are going on in the world. People say that China has abused the people and that the problem with COVID in China has reduced China's population by hundreds of millions. There are reasons to see that and to say that. Now, the reasons are because the authorities want people to think that China is a good market to have. So come to China and do business in China. We have lots of people to sell to. And that's why they keep their population numbers inflated. But there are also people who investigate China's population based on the number of deaths it has reported or the consumption of everything from rice to soybean to oil to everything. And they analyze the consumption that would be typical for a Chinese person. And they say that the population has gone down by hundreds of millions of people. That instead of 1.4 billion people in China, it is probably 600 million, more or less. So just consider that and see what kind of things that would mean. How would that impact your life? Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't, but we can know that things are changing in the world, and we want to be able to watch the changes and know that we are going to act in a godly way. I think a part of that is to support Christians, and a part of that Christian support is ministry. So if you know of a missionary ministry that is going on, I hope that you can direct a few dollars their way so that they are able to thrive and survive in a foreign country. I remember being in Thailand a few years ago and having the young people getting ready to go to foreign countries. That was China and Laos and other countries, Vietnam, where they were going to be missionaries. And everybody knew that as a missionary, they could be put into prison for several years. And that's what people are willing to do there. And are we willing to do that here in the United States for our Christian family? Are we willing to talk about Jesus to strangers or to people we know and promote the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? I hope we are, and I hope you're willing to do something to promote God's kingdom. All the past broadcasts of Christ Today can be heard by going to www.christtoday.org. And I also welcome everybody to have a copy of my preparedness paper. Just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Oh, I hope you send a self-addressed envelope with that. That way I know that the envelope is addressed correctly and it will get to you. But many people have ideas about what you need to be prepared. I have ideas too. And you can find more ideas by listening to corporations or government people. And everybody seems to have a preparedness list, but it's for you to decide what it is that you should be having on hand. Only you can decide those things, but I hope you give it some real good attention and try to figure out what it is you need to be prepared for and what you ought to have on hand. Well, God bless you. Thank you for today, and may you do God's work as you go through your life. In Jesus' name, and amen. God bless you.